go right ahead, sis. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. What a blessing. You go right ahead, hon. You ain't interrupting nothing. Yes. That's right. Yes, she is. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, go ahead, sis. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yes. Glory to God. Well, we got a pulpit and we got pews. We got a balcony and we got a choir and we got people and songbooks and a piano. We might as well have church this morning. Amen. It'd be a shame to miss it having all this set up like this. Amen. Sis, I'm glad I come by your house. Glory to God. I'm so glad you're here this morning. That made my day. Well, I'm telling you, I don't know whether to shout or just run in circles and jump up and down. And I'm telling you, God's been good, man. Amen. Turn your Bible to Psalms 23. I have struggled this morning as hard as I have ever struggled before. I've had about three different messages, and I told Brother Charles, I said, have you ever felt like this? Where you went to bed on Saturday night and thought you knew exactly what to do and woke up Sunday morning and it was just gone. He said, yeah, a time or two, amen. And this is one of those times or two this morning. So, but I believe this is the way the Lord would have us go. Psalms chapter number 23. If it's all right with y'all, and y'all have already started it, I'm just going to brag on him this morning. Amen. The Lord said if he'd be lifted up, he'd draw all men to himself. So if it's all right, I'd just like to magnify him a little bit this morning. Can I just reiterate what the sister said this morning? God is good. God is good. He's good in spite of your circumstance. He's good in spite. I might just have a fit this morning. He's good in spite of your trouble. He's good in spite of a trial. Hey, it doesn't decrease him one little bit. He's still God. Amen. Miss Stacy's sitting there bawling this morning, turned 41 on Friday, had another birthday. Ain't God good? You know, while they were singing, I'll get to the scripture here in a minute. Y'all testified, I'm gonna. While they were singing, Brother Freddie, I couldn't help but think. And I just bowed my head and I said, Lord, thank you that I don't go to church with that holier than thou crowd. I'm serious of heart. Some of y'all know exactly what I mean by that. I'm glad I don't go to church with that perfect bunch. I'm glad I'm in church with a bunch of sinners saved by grace. Amen. Glory to God, man. Ain't none of us deserves to be here. We're here by the grace of God and nothing more. Psalms chapter number 23. I've left my glasses at home this morning, so we're going to shoot from the hip. Amen. I've just got this Bible laying here because it looks good. I cannot see it. Psalms 23 and verse number 1. I'm okay, sis. Psalms 23 and verse number 1. Look at it very carefully this morning. Read it with me out loud. The Lord. Whoa. Back up. The Lord. That pretty much says it all right there, doesn't it? The Lord, what's the next word? Is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Let's just say it again together. The Lord is my shepherd. If the Lord is your shepherd this morning, give me a good witness and say amen. Right there. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, boy, when we stop and think about that, in the face of difficulty, we could just say, Mr. Smutty Face, the Lord is my shepherd. Mr. Bill Collector, the Lord is my shepherd. Dr. So-and-so, the Lord is my shepherd. Mr. Big Government, the Lord is my shepherd. Mr. Social Security, the Lord is my shepherd. When the Lord's your shepherd, he finishes up and said, a little Sunday school girl was going to quote Psalms 23, and she stood up and she said, the Lord's my shepherd and I don't need nothing. I like that pretty good. I don't believe in correcting the Bible, but that's a pretty good version. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd and I don't need nothing. That's what the psalmist was saying. The Bible has a great deal to say about sheep and shepherds. Sheep are mentioned 192 times in the Bible. Shepherds are mentioned 80 times in the Bible. And many times the Bible likens the life of the child of God as a sheep. Let me say it again. Many times the Bible likens us to sheep and to the Lord as a shepherd. Now, I don't care much about being a sheep, but I'll be one as long as he's my shepherd. Amen. I'll bow with the best of them as long as the Lord is my shepherd. He said, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. Thank God that he is my shepherd. I don't know the exact year, but it was some 28 years ago on New Year's Eve. I was a sheep, but I was astray. But thank God there was a good shepherd who found me. Amen. How many of you remember where you were when the Lord found you? Some of you need to get a grip and wake up and realize how many of you remember where you were when the Lord found you. I didn't find God. I wasn't even looking for him. He found me. I love the parable about the 90 and 9. Talks about the man who had 90 and 9 sheep and one was lost. And he left the 90 and went after the 90 and 9 and went after the one that was lost. I'm glad I got a shepherd that came after one. Somebody help me right there. I'm glad I got a shepherd that came after one. Let me tell you something. You're one this morning. You're one this morning, and you matter to the shepherd, and he's concerned about where you are and what condition you're in, and he's looking for a lost sheep this morning. Today I want to talk about my shepherd and just brag on the Lord Jesus Christ for a little bit. Jesus Christ is our shepherd, and as our shepherd, the Bible has a threefold meaning of our shepherd. The Bible talks about the good shepherd, and he is a good shepherd. But he goes on to describe him a little further, and he said he's not only a good shepherd, but he is a great shepherd. Well, he doesn't stop there. He said he's a good shepherd, but not only a good shepherd, but a great shepherd. But then he says he is the chief shepherd. The chief shepherd. That means he's the shepherd of all the shepherds. Amen. I'm a shepherd this morning. That's my title as a pastor. I'm an overseer of the flock of God, but I'm not the chief shepherd. I'm not the chief shepherd this morning. One time a lady got upset in our school, and she called Brother Freddie and was chewing his ear off on the phone, and she said, "I want to talk to your boss." He said, "Well, that'd be Brother Eddie." She said, "Well, I want to talk to whoever's above him." He said, "Hit your knees." Amen. He said, "That'd be God. You need to talk to him." Amen. She wasn't happy with that either, was she, Brother Fred? Some people, you just can't please them. Amen. But I'm glad he is a good shepherd. He is a great shepherd, and he is the chief shepherd. Go with me to John, the book of John. Chapter number 10. John chapter number 10. I want to look at this good shepherd, this great shepherd, and this chief shepherd. And by the way, they're all one. In John chapter number 10 and verse number 11. John chapter 10 and verse number 11. Jesus said, are y'all looking at it? He said, "I am the good shepherd. Giveth his life for the sheep." He said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." As the good shepherd, Jesus gives his life for his sheep. I didn't get enough help right there. I said, as the good shepherd, Jesus gives his life for his sheep. Do you understand that we sit here this morning under the grace of God because Jesus gave his life for us? The Bible said, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend." Let me just back up real good right here and tell you, ain't nobody ever loved you like Jesus loved you. Ain't nobody ever done for you what Jesus has done for you. He gave his life for us. How much more could you ask? Oh, he answers prayers, and we see the miracles, and we hear about the comatose coming back to life, and we see the dead walking and talking, and we see the cancer healed, and we hear all the answered prayers. But hey, he gave his life for us. That seems to be downplayed in modern religion, and we focus on all the physical. But one greater is the spiritual. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter 2, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin." We are brought back to life because he gave his life for us. There's three kinds of death. There is a spiritual death, and that is separation from God. There is a spiritual death, and that is separation from God. When I was lost, I would pray, but God did not hear my prayers because I did not know God. I was spiritually dead. I'm talking to somebody this morning who is spiritually dead. There is a spiritual death. And then not only that, there is a physical death. Spiritual death is separation from God, but then physical death is separation from the body. The Bible said, "Is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment." Do you understand we're all dying this morning? Somebody, Miss Stacy, told me this morning about her stepdad. He said, "He's not doing good. He's dying." And I thought, so am I. So am I. Every time we suck in and blow out, we're one breath closer to the last breath we'll ever take on planet Earth. Do you understand that? The funeral homes, till the rapture, will never go out of business. No matter what the economy does, no matter who's in the White House or who's in the Congress or who's in the Senate, people are going to die every single day. One preacher said, every time I snap my fingers, somebody dies. Every time I snap my fingers, somebody goes out to meet God. That is separation from the body. That part of you that will live eternally inside of you, it will leave that body one day. And that body will expire. That body will cease to exist. That body will cease to live. But there's a part of you that will live forever. There's a part of you, and that's your soul. Have you ever heard anybody make the expression, oh, my soul? You have a soul. And I preached a message about that here a few weeks ago with the soccer ball. Y'all remember that? That outer skin of that soccer ball, that was the body. That inner tube on the inside of that thing, that was the soul. Yeah, and the air inside was the spirit. Body, soul, and spirit. You're a three-part being. And part of you will die, but part of you will live forever and ever and ever. There is a spiritual death, that's separation from God. There's a physical death, that is separation from the body. But then, lastly, there is an eternal death where you will die forever and ever and ever. Listen, I love to preach about heaven. I love to talk about it. I love to talk about the streets of gold, the gates of pearl. I love to talk about the walls of jasper and the river of life that flows from the throne of God. I love to talk about all the things in heaven. My grandmother's there. My grandfather's there. I've got preacher heroes that are there before me. I've got the man who led me to Christ that is in heaven this morning. I love to talk about heaven. And as real as heaven is, just as real as hell this morning. Yeah, that's right. If you die without Christ, hell will be your home. That's not good news. That's not a real positive message this morning. And it is not meant to be positive. It is a negative thing. But it's the truth. If we die without Christ, we'll burn forever and ever and ever. If I was to take a poll this morning and ask how many wants to go to hell when you die, you never get a yes out of that. You never get a yes. You may run into some satanic, demonic person like Angus Young who sang with AC/DC. And I remember when Bon Scott died, the lead singer for AC/DC, they sung at his graveside, I'm on the highway to hell. I'm on the highway to hell. They talk about how it's a party and how it's a good time. Ain't nobody having fun in hell this morning. There's nobody having a good time in hell this morning. Nobody's experiencing free love in hell this morning. Nobody's on a good buzz or a high in hell this morning. They're all suffering in a place that burns with fire without God. One famous preacher said that hell was just a place away from God. That's true. But he didn't go far enough. Hell is a place that the Bible said burns with fire. The hell is a place where the Bible said where there is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. The rich man lifted up his eyes in hell. Hey, he had eyes in hell. He said, send Lazarus that he may dip his finger in water and touch my tongue, for I'm in torment in this flame. He had a tongue in hell. When the good shepherd went so far as to give his life for me, I wouldn't chance going to hell for nothing. Because Jesus gave his life for us. I know it's simple this morning, but somebody needs to hear it. We have a good shepherd. Thank God the Lord is my shepherd. Let's say that again together. The Lord is my shepherd. And if he's not your shepherd this morning, he wants to be. He wants to be. The Bible said he is the good shepherd. Thank God. Thank God. When Jesus gave his life, all through the Old Testament, if you'll read your Bible, you'll find where they sacrifice lamb after lamb after lamb. They'd bring those lambs to the tabernacle and then to the temple, and they would slit their throat and drain out all the blood, and they would skin that lamb, and they would quarter it up in sections and pieces, and they would lay it on the offering, and it would be a sacrifice unto God for the atonement of our sin. But no sooner would they get that lamb sacrificed, they'd have to sacrifice another lamb, and then they'd have, you know why? Because man just kept sinning. Man kept messing up. No matter how hard he tried, he couldn't be good enough for God. So there had to be lamb after lamb after lamb. But thank God there was a lamb. There was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And his name is Jesus Christ. And the Bible said there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. Once was enough. The good shepherd laid down his life for his sheep. Go to Hebrews chapter number 13. Hebrews chapter number 13. Not only is the Bible call him the good shepherd, but he is also referred to as the great shepherd. The great shepherd. The great shepherd. God is great. I remember one time Brother Freddie preached a message, and believe it or not, I've used that a time or two, brother. He likened God to things that we see on commercials, and he likened God to Frosted Flakes. You remember that? And he said, he's great. He said, the Lord's like Frosted Flakes. He's great. I'll never forget that. Hey, by the way, can I just say to you this morning, he is great. Great, the Bible even says it. Great is the Lord in Psalm chapter number 48. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. If God's great, we ought to praise him great. Amen. We ought to praise him greatly. In Hebrews chapter number 13, look with me at verse number 20. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 20. I'm about to lose my voice. The Bible said, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus. Watch this. That great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. That great shepherd of the sheep. As the good shepherd, he gives his life for his sheep. As the good shepherd, he gives his life for the sheep. That delivers us from the penalty of sin. That delivers us from the penalty of sin. The Bible said, for the wages of sin is death. So when I trusted Christ as my Savior, when I trusted his death and resurrection at Calvary and his resurrection from the grave, his ascension back to heaven, when I put my faith in that, that rescued me from the penalty of sin. Sin has a penalty. Would you agree? Listen, man, we've got laws. You leave right here on 61, headed toward New Georgia, it's 35 miles an hour. If you don't believe me, try it at 50. You won't make it to the hospital. Barney will have you. Amen. 35 miles an hour, that's the law. If you break the law, there's a penalty. What's the penalty? It's a fine. Listen, we broke the law of God in that we have sinned. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Some people don't like to hear that they're sinners. The Ten Commandments, that'd be God's law, wouldn't it? Thou shalt not lie. Anybody broke that one? That's for me, I ain't here. I'll never forget, I've told this story over and over. Brother D. Dyer, I don't know where he's at. He's back here somewhere or out with the baby. Brother D had it. There he is. He's already red in the face. He knows where I'm going. He had a Jeep for sale out in his front yard. And some fella stopped to look at that Jeep, and D was just a-bragging on that thing. And his little boy, Jared, he's grown now, but Jared was this little fella, and he was his daddy's shadow. Went everywhere D did and done everything D said, that the guy was looking at the Jeep, and he said, how's that thing run? D said, oh, yeah, that thing runs good. And old Jared piped up, and he said, Daddy, you said that thing was a piece of junk. Amen. Hey, we've all broken God's law. And at salvation, the good shepherd delivered us from the penalty of breaking God's law. The penalty of breaking God's law is death. And it's not just death, it's death forever and ever and ever and ever in a place called hell. But the great shepherd, the good shepherd delivered us from the penalty of sin, but the great shepherd delivers us from the power of sin. How many of you have ever made the statement, either verbally or just in your heart, I can't live it? I can't live it. I want to be a Christian. I want to do right. But no matter how hard I try, I mess up. Can I give you some encouragement this morning? Paul said in Romans chapter number 7 the exact same thing that you've mumbled from your heart and from your lips, no matter how hard I try, I mess up. He wrote 13 books of the Bible, Brother Freddie, but yet he said, when I do good, evil is present with me. When I make up my mind, in other words, that I'm going to do right, that's when I seem to mess up the most. Thank God. He not only delivered me from the penalty of sin, but He delivered me from the power of sin. Listen, you say, preacher, I would love to get saved, and I'd love to be a part of the church, but I just don't think I can do right. Well, join the Can't Do Right Club. Can't none of us do right. We're all jacked up from the floor up. Make God want to throw up. I mean, we're a mess at best. How many of you lived perfectly and upright and holy yesterday? Nobody? It's a good sign we ain't at First Baptist. Let me ask you again. How many of you lived holy and perfectly and upright yesterday? Nobody, right? We're all messed up, man. But thanks be unto God, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can live for God because God lives in me. And I can do right when I want to do right. And I can say no when I want to say no. And I can say yes when I need to say yes. Why? Because of the power of God that lives inside me. Amen. Greater is He that is in you, the Bible said, than he that is in the world. Amen. Listen, I don't care how messed up your marriage is. If you get God in the middle of that thing, it can be fixed. Say amen, Brother Rusty. Say amen, Brother Jeremy. Both these couples came to our church separated. Not even living in the same house. Talking about lawyers and talking about dividing up the property and talking about a divorce and all this stuff. Hey, they gave God a chance. Hey, it's about time somebody gave God a chance this morning. Hey, I'm talking about one who can deliver. He can fix a marriage that's a mess. He can fix a man that's a mess. He can fix a lady that's a mess. One of the sweetest ladies in our church. I'm talking about precious. Sister Maureen, I don't know where she's at. I won't embarrass her. She's right there. I wouldn't embarrass her. You know where we found her? Carroll County Jail. You say you got convicts in this church? Oh, a whole bunch of them. Wave at me, Casey. Amen. A whole bunch of them. Got a church full of convicts. And the ones who ain't convicts are lucky. Amen. Somebody help me right there. You saw I ain't never been in jail in my life. You should have been. Yes, sir. Probably a time or two. Amen. I should have been over and over and over. By the grace of God, I've never spent the night in jail. I've been to jail to preach, but that's it. You know what that is? That's grace. Somebody said, oh, was you a good boy. I just didn't get caught. I don't need no help over here, amen. Or back there either, amen. I just didn't get caught, amen. That was the grace of God. Oh, what I'm trying to say is we all are sinners and we're all messed up. And ain't nobody in this place better than nobody else in this place. I'm so fed up with that Christian mentality. Oh, I'm a Christian, but I'm one that deals with reality. I'm a Christian that knows I'm a failure and I'm a mess up. I catch somebody looking down their nose at one of these little old children that rides a bus, I'll hit you in the head with a songbook. Amen. And if I can't handle you, Jason can. Amen. I used to be one of them. Still consider myself one of them. Thank God the good shepherd delivered us from the penalty of sin, but the great shepherd delivers us from the power of sin. Come December, that beautiful green-eyed woman sitting over there listening to my mama instead of me. My mama is the only person that talks more than me in church. Say amen right there. Help me, Brother Freddie. He's agreeing. He ain't saying it out loud. I couldn't pass that up. That's set up like pins in the bowling alley. I looked over there to make reference to my wife. My mama's in her ear going, nah, 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 nah. She ain't stopped yet. Bless her, Lord, she can't help it. Amen. You seen that shirt that says I've fallen and I can't get up? Mama says I'm talking and I can't shut up. Amen. I lost my whole train of thought. Yeah, come December, December 10th, me and that little gal right there will be married 30 years. 30 years. I'm taking her somewhere nice. I'm thinking seriously about the flea market on 41. Maybe the drive-thru at McDonald's after that. God is my witness. We left the church the day we got married, and she said, I'm hungry. On our way to our honeymoon, guess where I fed her? Chicken fingers at Grand's on 61. I think I've made up for that since then. But listen, 30 years, it's not because I'm a good husband. It's not just because she's a good wife. It's been because of that great shepherd who's brought us through trouble and trial and struggle. And somebody said, I bet y'all don't ever fight. Not lately. But used to, boy, we didn't really fight. We just had very loud conversations. Look at Katie going, It's been because of that great shepherd and the power that he's given us over sin. Hey, we could choose to do wrong. We got the power to do right. Let me say it again. We could choose to do wrong, but God has given us the power to do right. He's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, the Bible said. Hey, you can do right. I'm telling you, through him, in that of yourselves, you're not going to make it. You're not going to do well at all. That's why seven steps won't work. That's why AA won't work. That's why all these programs, it's not turning over a new leaf. It's gaining a new life. Jesus can give you the power over sin. Thank God the good shepherd delivered us from the penalty of sin. The great shepherd delivered us from the power of sin. But look at 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter number 5. 1 Peter, and I'm done. I can't find 1 Peter. New Testament, thank you, brother. I thought it was after Exodus. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. We've looked at the good shepherd this morning, and he is a good shepherd. I wonder if there'd be anybody who could honestly from their heart say, I regret that I ever knew him. I've been saved almost 30 years. I've never met anybody who said, I wished I'd never got saved. I wish I'd never met this good shepherd. Never met anybody yet who regretted knowing him. He is a good shepherd. He is a great shepherd. Thank God, not only that, he is the chief shepherd. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 4. The Bible said, and when the chief shepherd, watch this, shall appear. When the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. When the chief shepherd shall appear, what are you saying, preacher? He's coming again. He's coming again. John chapter number 14, he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go away to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The Bible said in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 that the trumpet's going to sound and the dead will be raised, and then which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. Thank God he's coming again, but he's coming after his sheep. That possessive pronoun, you need to pay close attention. His sheep. We must be one of his. The good shepherd delivers us from the penalty of sin. The great shepherd delivers us from the power of sin. But thanks be unto God, the great shepherd will deliver us from the very presence of sin. Did you know everything in this world that gives us trouble is a product of sin? Every heartache I deal with in my office is a product of sin. Every divorce I've ever dealt with has been a product. I don't know why I keep hitting that this morning. Somebody might be struggling. Every divorce I've ever dealt with has been a product of sin. I've never had a couple come in my office and say, "Preacher, we need to counseling. We need to get a divorce." Well, what's going on? Everything's great. I've been faithful. She's been faithful. We ain't got no problems. We just want a divorce. Hadn't had that one come across my desk yet. It's always a product of some sin. Brother Warren, I don't know where he's at in that balcony. He'll go to the jail in a little while and preach the gospel. Thank God for men who will go to the broken lives behind prison bars and tell them that Jesus loves them. Amen. Thank God for a preacher. Hey, what's he got to gain? Nothing. They don't have an offering to give. They don't have gifts to give, but they got souls that need help. Every one of them he'll preach to this afternoon is a product of sin. A product of sin. What's the old story in jail? Everybody's innocent. Is that right, Brother Robbie? Everybody in jail is innocent? No, they're not. Matter of fact, there's not one in jail that's innocent. It's a possibility they're innocent of what they've been accused of, but they're not innocent. They're every one a product of sin. Every homeless person, every tragedy, every heartache you see, it's a product of sin. But let me tell you, I'm going somewhere where there ain't going to be none of that. That's what's going to make heaven wonderful. There's going to be no sin in heaven. The devil will not be allowed. He can't even hang around outside the gate. Matter of fact, he's going to be tied up and bound and cast into hell forever and ever and ever and ever. Thank God there'll be no sin in heaven. Now, this sounds kind of cruel, but I'm just being honest. Sister Stacy's stepdad's dying in the hospital. Do you know what that is? It's a product of sin. Boy, it got quiet on me there. We're dying because of sin. Every one of us are dying because of sin. The science says that man started down here dragging his wife by the hair and carrying a club. That's what science says. And said through the ages we've got better and better and better and better and better. Scientists are stupid. Man started in the Garden of Eden. Perfect and sinless, in perfect fellowship with God. Man started way up here as high as man could get outside of glory and has steadily declined. Old technologies went up, but moralities went down. Are you listening? We're living in a day where if I stand up here and tell you it's wrong for a man to marry a man, I'm in danger of a hate crime. By the way, just let me go ahead and break the law. It's wrong for a man to marry a man. And if you look at a man and say, "Oh, I'd like to kiss him," and you're a man, something's wrong with you.
Yes, sir.
Amen. You need to get that fixed.
Amen.
Chaps my hide. Always makes somebody mad when you say something about that. Did you mention any other sin?
Come on, preacher.
Pray for my cousin. He's hooked on drugs. That's a sin. Amen. One of these days, God's going to deliver us from the very presence of sin. Can you imagine being in a place and looking around and everything you see is perfect? Can you imagine? I mean, I can't even fathom that, Brother Freddie. Everything is perfect. Listen, we've got fault finders. We've got visitors here this morning. First time you've ever been here, and I promise you, because you're normal, we're used to what's wrong around here, so we don't see it. So seriously, you come in for the first time, you're like, "Well, why don't they do this and why don't they do that?" You're looking for what's wrong. That's our nature. Seriously. If I come to your house, I'm going to look around and go, "Man, they ought to clean this place up." I've been in people's homes and they say, "Would you like something to drink?" "Oh, no, no, thank you." I could have cotton mouth and my tongue stuck to the roof of my mouth and I wouldn't drink out of one of their dishes. Our nature is to find what's wrong. And if you look around here, I could help you if you need help. I could show you some stuff that's wrong. We've got holes in the floor. And that's really bothering me. But Brother Andy's working on it. He's making us vent covers since we got new carpet. Amen. I could show you what's wrong. But listen, when Jesus comes and we're standing in heaven, I can't help you. Because you can look and you can look and you can look and you can look and you'll find not one thing wrong.
Amen.
Nothing. Because the great shepherd will deliver us from the very presence of sin. We love to take our problems and blame them on this and blame them on that, when the reality is it's just sin. It's just sin. It's just going against God's will and what God wants and what God desires. It's just sin. Well, it got quiet on me again. But that's the truth. We take just about every problem we have and it goes back to a sin issue somewhere. Thank God for the good shepherd who delivers us from the power of sin or the penalty of sin. Thank God for the great shepherd who delivers us from the power of sin. Thank God for the chief shepherd who delivers us from the very presence of sin. He's coming.
Yes,
sir. And I'm going.
Yes.
How about you this morning? Let's stand to our feet. Brother Todd, you and Ashley, come. Listen, I know just a simple message this morning, but I believe with all my heart that's what God wanted me to do. And they're coming to the piano and going to sing, and we're just going to have a verse of invitation. If we could, let's just bow our heads all over the house. Nobody looking around, eyes closed, heads bowed. I wonder, in a crowd this size, surely there might be somebody here this morning that needs to know my shepherd. And there's nothing in this world we'd like better than to introduce you this morning to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We'd love for you to know the good shepherd who can deliver you from the penalty of sin. If you're here this morning, you're not sure that if you died right now, heaven would be your home. I wouldn't embarrass you for nothing. I wouldn't come to you. I'd just like to pray. Just slip up your hand and say, "Preacher, I'm not sure. If I died right now, heaven would be my home. Please pray for me." Anybody like that? Just slip up your hand. Thank you so much. Any others? "Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure. I need to get this thing settled in my heart. Pray I get this taken care of. Preacher, I don't want to die and go to hell." Just remember me when you pray. Anybody else? "Preacher, I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. There's no doubt in my mind. But boy, I know I've been delivered from the penalty of sin. But I'll be honest with you, I'm having a little trouble with the power of sin." Pray I'd trust that great shepherd this morning, that he could help me. That he could help me from the things that are, even from my past, that are haunting me and the things that I'm struggling with. How about it? Hands all over this building this morning. Thank you for being honest. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you this morning in Jesus' name, God, we thank you for a good day. Lord, it's a great day. Lord, just to be in your house, to be your child this morning, to know, God, that we've been delivered from the penalty of sin. Lord, from the power of sin. One day from the very presence of sin. God, we look so forward to that. Lord, I wish it could even be today. But Lord, as we look around this building this morning, you saw the hands, you know the hearts. Lord, don't let that young'un leave, God, without knowing you as a Savior. Help him to get that settled right here this morning. Lord, you saw every other hand. Lord, these are just people this morning. God, these are not some super saints I'm preaching to. Lord, they live out in the real world and they struggle with everyday life. God, I pray you'd help them and give them strength this morning. Father, let them find what they need this morning at the foot of Calvary. We'll thank you and we'll praise you, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.